As you know, we've been going through a series on favorite Bible chapters, and we're going to take a look at John chapter 1 this morning. Notice what it says in verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Doesn't say was a God. It says was what? God. All things, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, when you read the Gospels, you'll see there are four of them that are called the Gospels. That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're written by four different men, but they're all written about the same person, and that person is Jesus Christ, who happens to be the God-man. Now, Matthew wrote to picture Jesus as a king. Mark wrote him to picture Jesus as a servant. Luke wrote about him, and he pictured Jesus as the Son of Man. But when you read the Gospel of John, he wrote to picture him as the Son of God. In other words, you know what? You may be a man, right? But to your parents, you may be their child. To your wife, you may be your husband. And you know what? To your children, they may look at you or picture you as their father. And if you have a sister, she may look at you as a brother. Four different pictures all about the same person. Well, that's what the Gospels are. When you read those Gospels, keep those things in mind. Now, when they wrote about him, they just saw him in a different light. They pictured him in a different light, okay? Now, it's interesting that when you read the Gospel of Matthew, he goes back in his genealogy to Abraham. Then when you read Luke's genealogy, it goes back to Adam. When you read John, it just talks about him going back to the beginning. And when you read Mark, you see there's no genealogy at all because a servant doesn't need a genealogy. But you know what? What a wonderful book the Bible is. Amen? And how precise and careful is God giving us in the truth that He presents to us? Now, the Gospel of John, when you read that, you'll see it's a very simple gospel. It's a simple enough for a child to wade in and get something out of it, but it's deep enough for the scholar and the most seasoned saint to swim in and go to depths. You know, oftentimes people say, oh, you ought to read the Gospel of John. It's so simple to understand. I don't know about you, but I find it's a difficult book to understand. There's a lot of deep truths in there. And you know what? It's not just one that you can get a whole lot out of just looking at the surface. You need to dig deep in there. Now, John did not simply write a book. He painted exciting pictures of Jesus Christ. And those pictures are such as Jesus as the Lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world. They show him as the door, the shepherd, the new birth, the light and darkness, the water of life, bread, blindness, seeds, and much more. All kinds of different pictures are pictured in the Gospel of John and how Jesus helped people, or they picture him as such. Now remember, as you read John, you're not studying a book. You are to see a person. John 1:14 says, and we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Solomon asked a question when he dedicated the temple. He asked the question, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, God's glory did dwell in the tabernacle, did it not? He showed himself in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then he did dwell in the temple, did he not? You read when Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of God came in there. It was so bright and so magnificent that even the priests could no longer serve there for that period of time. Then you read about the glory of God departing when you read the book of Ezekiel because of the sins of the people. Then a marvelous thing happened. The glory of God came to his people again in the person of Jesus Christ. There is one major theme that runs throughout the Gospel of John, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And if you believe in him, you trust in him, you depend upon him, put your faith in him, he will give you eternal life. And this is precisely why John wrote this book. Notice what it says in John chapter 20 and verse 31. John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life, what? Through his name. Now, this book, this gospel of John, pictures Christ as the Son of God. Now, the key to this chapter, and for that matter, the entire New Testament, is this chapter. And it speaks about Jesus being God. Notice in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word. Now take a look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 13, and we find out just who this Word is. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11 through 13. And notice what it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Every now and then somebody asks me if there's going to be, you know, animals in heaven. Well, you know what? Sounds to me like there's going to be horses, right? You know, I remember some lady telling me, well, are there going to be cats in heaven? And I said, no, they're probably, I'm thinking, no, they're all going to hell. But I said, Odo will probably be in heaven. But anyways, horses will be there, right? Yeah. It goes on to say, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, who do you think that's talking about there? Talking about Jesus. Is he not the judge of all men? And so we read about him as judge. He's also true. He's also righteous. And guess what? He does make war. I know a lot of people don't believe that. You know, they don't even think about that aspect of Jesus. They just think about him as what? The Lamb of God, the loving Savior. But here we see he makes war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. Now, that Word of God, of course, is Jesus. He is the Word. Now, here we have the fact that Jesus was from the beginning. Now, what is the beginning? That's way back. That's when God, I mean, he's always been. That's what it's talking about there. Now, though he became a man at Bethlehem, the Son of God is eternal. He never really had a beginning. That word beginning means eternal. That's what he was. He prayed in John 17 that the Father might restore him the joy which they had together before the world was. Christ is eternal God. Now, in the beginning, that's before the universe. The first three words of this chapter are the same as the first three words in the book of Genesis. And these first five verses talk about the same time and events that Genesis does. Jesus himself was there and he had a part in creation. When God said, "Let us make man," who do you think he was talking about? He was talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three of them had a part in creation. Jesus is just as old as God the Father. He is deity. He could say before Abraham was, I am. He is the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. He had hair white like wool. The scripture tells the one ruling and judging. And all judgment is given to who? Jesus. Now, when Jesus healed the woman of that issue of blood, what did he call her? I don't know. Well, he called her daughter, did he not? Now, she was older than him. And physically, as far as his time on earth. But he called her daughter because he was way before her as well. He's older than any man. He's eternal God. He was in the beginning with God. Wherever God was before creation, Christ was there with him. Now notice how different is the beginning of John's gospel from the other three gospels. Matthew begins by giving us the genealogy of Christ, then tells of his conception and birth. Mark begins by telling of Christ's baptism by John the Baptist at the age of 30. Luke begins a story of Jesus by telling of the announcement of his birth. But not so with John. He goes way back to the beginning, all the way to eternity past, and he presents Jesus Christ, not as a babe in the manger, but as the second person of the Trinity, dwelling forever with God the Father. So in the beginning was what? The Word. Then the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That finishes up verse 1. Now, how many of you have ever had people knock on your door, and they're what they call Jehovah Witnesses? Okay. Now, they don't witness a Jehovah because Jesus is Jehovah. But they'll say he was a God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches he is God, does it not? I mean, it's pretty plain here. But they say he is a God. Now, here's a picture at the bottom part of verse 1 of the deity of Christ. Now, here's something we need to know. One cannot be a Christian unless they believe Jesus is God. It's impossible. You know, those who don't believe Jesus is God, they may be religious, they may even call themselves Christians, but they're not. Matter of fact, the Bible says they're antichrist. They don't believe the doctrine of Jesus. And the doctrine of Jesus is he's God. Now, how are we supposed to handle those people that come to our house and don't believe Jesus is God? Are we supposed to let them in? Are we supposed to have a study with them? No, we're not even supposed to tell them goodbye. We're not supposed to say Godspeed. You say, well, preacher, I just can't see that. Well, turn if you would. I think it's in 3 John. Notice what it says here. Now, remember, Pastor Rainey didn't write this book. He doesn't have an axe to grind, but you know what? He does believe what God has said. Now notice, I think it's 2 John. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Okay, now that means God came in the flesh, right? This is a deceiver and a what? Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we would receive a full reward. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not what? God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, now there's two groups out there that do that. One is the Jehovah Witnesses, right? And the other is who? The Mormons. They don't believe Jesus is God either. They believe he is created angel. He is the brother of Lucifer. And notice what it says. Receive him what? Not into your house, neither bid him what? Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his what? Evil deeds. Now, would they, both of those groups claim to be Christian? Sure they would. But they're really antichrist. Now, in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, Jesus is called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. This same truth is given to us in John 1, verse 2, which says, notice what it says, the same was in the beginning with what? With God. Now, three times we have the term, the word, in this first verse, and it's obviously a name for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He is the revelation of God. He tells Philip, he says, he that has seen me has seen what? The Father. I and my Father are what? One. He is God approaching man by becoming man. He is God saving man. So he is the revelation and manifestation of God. Everything Jesus is, the Father is. You know, that really helped me out when I was a young believer. You know what? When I grew up Catholic, you know what? I always thought God was just some mean guy up in heaven wanting to bonk us on the head every time we did wrong. Anybody else ever? Yeah. And what a warped idea that is. You know, then I found out about Jesus and how he loved us and how gracious he was to people. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That's what the Father is like. You know, he just didn't love certain people. He loved the entire world. He even loved a sinner such as I and such as you. What a wonderful thing that is about Jesus. Whatever he is, the Father is just like him. Now, it is fitting that the same term is used for Christ in the Bible, speaking of the Word. Both Christ and the Scriptures are eternal. Christ was in the beginning with God, and the Word of the Scripture, or the Scriptures, say this of itself, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled, what? In heaven. Do you see that there? So the Word of God been around just as long as God himself. Before God had men whom he prepared from before their birth to write portions of Scripture, he had it written down in heaven. And in every case, God prepared the penman, his vocabulary, his circumstances, and gave him the words already that were predetermined, written down in heaven. This thought is repeated in Psalm 119, 152. It says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. That same truth is repeated in Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. From the what? Oh, do you see that same word used right there? And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, one cannot be saved without Christ, and one cannot be saved without the Word or the Gospel, whether it be read or whether it be heard. For the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, what is the Gospel? That's right. It is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how many times I've been out knocking on doors and I run across some charismatic. And I introduced myself, and I asked them if they were to die today, if they're 100% certain they'd go to heaven. They say, oh, yeah, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I speak in tongues. And I'm a full gospel believer. And I'm like, wow. I said, I believe in the full gospel, too. And they say, really? I thought you said you were a Baptist. I said, yeah, I'm a Baptist. We believe in the full gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. And then they'll say, well, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, oh, that's what the Bible says. And they'll say, well, you don't speak in tongues? I said, no, I got a problem with the one tongue I do have. I don't need another language to get in trouble with. The gospel, that's what the gospel is it not? You don't add anything to it. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, what? Forever. And we are asked the plain question in Romans 10:14, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So Christ and the gospel are both essential to salvation. What a wonderful book we have, and what a wonderful Savior we get to serve. Then notice in verse 3, we see Jesus is the creator. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was what? Made. Now, here we find Jesus not only was preexistent and eternal, according to the first two verses, but he was also the creator. It says, all things are made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, actually, all three of the Trinity were partakers in creation. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. Now, notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. Remember, it says the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. All three of them had a part in creation. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the what? Made the worlds. Now, that shows us God made the worlds. Jesus seems to have been given the details of the rest, you know, when he was creating. Correct? Now, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew word Elohim is a plural form of El. And so that means it's plurality working in unity. That would be what? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created, right? All three of them partook in creation. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. But here we are told that Christ had a part in creation of everything that was made. Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we see in the beginning was the Word, right? Way back, he's always been. The Word was with God because what? He was God, and then he also was the Creator. Then he came unto his own creation. Notice what verse 11 says. He came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. Now, who did he come to? Did they receive him? Did some receive him? Sure. But not all did they? They rejected him. And you know what? They still reject him today. You know, when I was in Israel years ago, they wouldn't even say his name. They still don't. They simply call him that man. They're looking for the Messiah. They don't realize he already came. They don't realize he's coming back the second time. Now, isn't that crazy that they're looking for the one who already came? And you know what? When they read the Bible, they don't read Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant. And you know what? It only can point to one guy or one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So they just avoid that chapter altogether. It's crazy, isn't it? He came unto his own, and his what? His own received him not. Then notice their salvation in receiving him. Look at verse 12. But as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word power means authority. If you are born again, you have the authority to call yourself the Son of God. Goes on to say, even to them that what? Believe on his name. Now, when you read the Gospel of John, you constantly read of that word believe, believe, believe. I think it's mentioned 99 times. It's really part of the Gospel of John. And we are to believe on Jesus if we are to what? Be saved. We got to believe that he is Lord. We got to believe that he went to Calvary. There he died. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. That's where salvation comes in. It's a simple belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then notice in verse 13, it tells us how not to be saved. It says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of what? God. Now, it says not of blood. Salvation cannot be inherited. God has no grandchildren. You know, a lot of things can be inherited, can't they? For instance, you know what? If your parents both had a Jimmy Durante nose, you know what? You could probably got a big old nose when you were born, correct? Maybe if your parents had, let's say you were a child of Barack Obama, maybe you got some big old elephant ears on you. Right? You look like Dumbo. You know, if you got tall parents, chances are you're going to be what? If you got short parents, chances are you're going to be what? You're going to be what, Michael? Oh, my. He's not even here. You know, the color of your eyes can be what? Inherited. All these things, there's a lot of things that can be inherited. You know, sometimes dispositions can be inherited. Yeah. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. But all that stuff can be what? Inherited. But you know, if your father is saved, that doesn't mean you're saved. If your mama was saved, that doesn't mean you're saved. If your grandpa was a preacher of the gospel, doesn't mean you're saved. That means you yourself, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is established when you put your faith in him. It is not of blood. You know, I've heard that every now and then, knocking somebody's, well, my dad was a preacher. I'm like, I don't care what your daddy was. What about you? You see, it's a personal decision one makes for Jesus Christ if they are to be saved. Then it says, not of the will of the flesh. In other words, there's nothing a man can do to save himself. For instance, you may have talked to somebody and they say, well, you know what? I'm not the person I used to be. I've turned over a new leaf. You know, I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, I stopped cussing. Now, does that make someone a believer? No. It may make them a better person, but they still, what? Are sinners in need of a Savior. They say, man, how many of you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church. All right, we've all probably heard that. Well, you know what, I go to McDonald's, but I'm not a hamburger. I go in my garage, it doesn't make me a car. If it did, it would probably be a Ferrari. But but you know, that doesn't make you a believer by going to church. Well, what if you decide you're going to get baptized? Does that make you a believer? No, that doesn't make you a believer. Nothing this flesh can do can ever make anybody a believer. We need to be born of God, do we not? Now, you know, some people become religious. Some people do all kinds of things, and they think because they do these things that they are a believer, but not such is not the case. Then it goes on to say, nor the will of man. Not only do we not save ourselves, but nobody else can save us. Other than God himself. You know, I don't care if you go to a mass where the Pope is preaching and he walks down there and he sprinkles you with all kinds of holy water, which is just water that, I don't even know. But he can't save you. You can kiss his ring. You can kiss his big toe. You can confess your sins before him. And you know what? You're no better off for it. You can say you're Our Father's, the Hail Marys, and you're not better off for it. You're still not going to heaven. You can do all the sacraments that they impose upon you. You're still not going. You know, if the Apostle Paul himself laid hands on you, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Listen. No other Christian, preacher, group of people forming a denomination can save anybody else. The only one who can save you is Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Right? But of what? God. Now, did not Jesus in John chapter 3 talk to a religious man? His name happened to be Nicodemus. Right? And what did he tell Nicodemus? Now, was Nicodemus a religious man? Matter of fact, he was a master in Israel. That means he actually taught others about it, Judaism and no doubt Phariseeism. And guess what happened? He was still what? Lost, undone. Now, he was one of the bright stars in his religion, yet he was still lost. And Jesus told him, what? Ye must be born again. Did he not? Because all that religion did him no good when it came to going to heaven. You got to be born of God, born of the water and born of the Spirit. Now, you say, what's that talking about? Well, talking about a physical birth and a spiritual birth. Amen? Did not Nicodemus look at Jesus and say, how can I enter in my mother's womb a second time and be born again? I don't think he was being facetious. I don't think he was being sarcastic. I think he really meant what he said, and he couldn't contemplate how to be born again. But later on, I believe you read in the gospel, you find out that Nicodemus happened to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to be born of God. Then notice the incarnation in verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. Now who's the Word? And he was made what? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Now, incarnation, or the Word made flesh, is really what took place when God became man. Notice what it says in Philippians. Now remember, these are God's words, right? Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Now notice what it says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to what? Be equal with God. Meaning, you know what? Him and the Father are on the same level. If he claimed to be God, and God, the Father claimed to be God, they were on equal footing. He didn't take anything away from the Father. But made himself a what? No reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of what? Sounds like he became man, right? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, given him a name above that is which is above every name. Then notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy. You say, what that means? It means there's no disputing this. It's fact. And without what? Controversy. Great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was what? manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we see here, God became what? Flesh. He was the Word, right? And that Word was who? Jesus. He is Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. Then notice what it says in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 1. Not 1 John, John 1 verse 14. Notice what it says. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Now when it talks about being dwelt, He dwelt among us, that word means tabernacled. And of course, a tabernacle was a temporary structure. And so He dwelt temporarily amongst us when He was here on the earth. Now, His earthly body is spoken of as a tabernacle, and that tabernacle was temporary. But He did get a glorified body when He rose from the grave, did He not? But He was temporarily with us. Then it goes on to say He was full of grace and truth. Full of what? And what? Truth. Not just full of truth. Now, He is the way and the what? Truth. But He's not just full of truth. He was full of truth, but He was also full of grace. This means He had conviction. And when you look at Jesus, He never backed down from the truth. He always spoke the truth, whether people liked it or not. But He also had some tenderness about Him, did He not? You know, He had strength. But He also had compassion. He was balanced. That should be indicative of all of His people. Some of us are, we have full of truth, but we're brutal with it. That's not how Jesus was. You know, we need to become more like who? We need to stop making excuses for our bad behavior. Full of what? Grace and truth. You know, when you read John 1, you read about the incarnation. And we ought to be grateful and thankful that Jesus became a man. And when He did, He went to the cross and He bore in His body the sins of the world. Died, buried, and rose again so that we could be reconciled to the Father. All right. We'll have